If you don't understand anything that I say, please raise your hand and get accustomed. I've been talking different universities, and they always, I can see that they are always listening to me like this, like trying to figure out what I'm talking about. But if you have any question, please let me know. I'm going to talk about how to develop the conscious of the presence of God in my life. And for me, it's very important to talk about this point because I've been treating several leaders, religious leaders, that they have problems with addiction, and addiction in pornography, addiction in different ways, in different substances. And the only way that we'll say that we made them free because God made them free was teaching them the consciousness of the presence of God in their life. Because the majority of Christians, they say they believe in God. I got a pastor that he was an addict in pornography, and he went to see me because the church told him, we are not going to fire you, but if you see Dr. Johnson, maybe we will reconsider your stay. The church was more or less 5,000 members or something like that. He was author of different books, beautiful books about grace, about everything. But he was a slave of pornography. Then when he went to see me, he was kind of arrogant. And because he was a well-known person. And he said, I have a little problem. I have a small problem. You know, it's not little, I say, because you are coming here and the doctor who sent you here just called me and told me why you're here. And then I told him, and I know because he explained to me what happened. One day, the wife was sleeping and she woke up and saw a light really far away on the room. And then she started walking through the light, I was the computer of her husband, or the pastor. And she saw in the computer that she was watching pornography. And he said, I can't believe it. You are the author of this book. You are one of the best sales pastors. And you are in this. What's wrong with you? What happened? And then I need to talk to your assistant pastor. And let's see what happened. I need to talk to the council. They say the council in the church. And then he say, let's do something. I'm going to lock all the computers, iPad, and everything. I won't be able to go again into this garbage. He said something like this. Then the wife say, okay, I agree. But the only thing that they didn't lock was the telephone of the wife. Then the next day, when she woke up, she went to grab the telephone, she opened the telephone, and she found everything was pornography. The man was a slave. And then he explained to me that she went to the assistant pastor, and the assistant pastor went to the council. And in the council was a doctor that he knew about me. My methodology and everything. And then he said, okay, I know Dr. Johnson. If you go to see Dr. Johnson, we won't fire you. That's we want you here because we think that you are a good person or something like that. Then he came to me. He came to me, and he was arrogant, and he explained to me everything. And then I told him, I know what is wrong with you. And he looked at me and he said, what is wrong? He say that you don't believe in God. You are writing about God. You are preaching about God. But you don't believe in God. And he was really upset when I said that. And then he started yelling to me. And then I said, sorry, I made a mistake. You believe in God. You believe in God. But you are shaking like demons. You know, the demons believe in God. They shake, you know, they're trembling. And then he got more upset when I say that. And the problem is, you believe in God, but you don't believe God. You don't believe God. It's like what God says, you don't believe what God says. And this is a big problem that Christians have. You know, they believe in God, but they don't believe what the Bible say or why Jesus died on the cross or something like that. Then I told him that reason that I say that he doesn't believe in God or what God says he doesn't believe is because you told me that when you were so, you know, so in disgrace, when you realized that your wife found you watching pornography, then you won't watch pornography in front of your wife. And he said, of course not. Then you won't ask the pastor, your assistant pastor, to watch pornography with you. He say, of course, are you kidding me? What is your point? What are you trying to say? And you won't tell the council, Saturday, we have pornography day. You won't say that. That will be crazy, no? Yes, it will be crazy. Do you know why? The reason that I say that you don't believe what God says to you. Because you won't watch pornography in front of your wife. Because you respect your wife. You won't watch pornography in front of your assistant pastor because you can see the assistant pastor. And you won't watch pornography with the council because you can see the council and you won't do it. You're doing it by yourself. But doing it by yourself, you are telling God, I don't believe that you are in me. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is in me. Because you don't watch pornography or you don't do things in front of people, but you do things by yourself thinking that God is not with you. And the Bible is only one thing, God in you. And that's the problem. Then I'm going to teach you, I told him, I'm going to teach you how to develop the consciousness of God. The reason that you can see somebody here and recognize somebody here is thanks to the cuneiform form and the occipital lobe. It's the only reason. Okay, let me tell you. There is a illness. It's called prosopagnosia. Prosopagnosia. Prosopagnosia means that I can see the face of somebody, but not recognize the face. The reason that you are aware that I am here is sent to occipital lobe and sent the cuneiform and the cuneiform. And that's very important and that's amazing. Then there is a spiritual part in the brain that you can develop, that you can recognize the presence of God in your life. Because we haven't been taught about this. The majority of Christians, they don't recognize. It's like inside the temple, hallelujah. I am with the Lord. If somebody sings, oh, look, my hair. He says, you know, I feel so in glory. But you exit the temple, and God is not anymore with you. When you go to the market, God is not with you. You are in the market, you can do. When you are driving, if somebody cross you or, how do you say, cut you? Yeah. Oh, man, you want to take justice by your hand. But it's very important to understand this because you can develop the presence of God in your life and the consciousness of the presence of God in your life all the time. And it's very important because the Bible say, in, I don't know if you know this verse, is 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. If somebody is with God, if somebody live with God, he doesn't sin. What? He doesn't sin. Yes, that was the Bible say. And when I talk to different persons with different pastors, they say, no, everybody sins. But why the Bible say that the guy who is with God doesn't sin? That was my question, my neuroscientist question, because I am a doctor in neuroscience. Then why the Bible say that when all the pastors that have been interviewing, they say that everybody sins? There is no person that's insane. There has to be something, really, that the Bible is trying to tell us or to tell me. Okay? Then I started studying the consciousness of the presence of God. I talked to Dr. Bravo. Dr. Bravo, that's 22 years ago, more or less. I talked to Dr. Bravo. She read one of my books, and she was talking to me. She started looking for me and talking to me about meditation, because I wrote about meditation in God. And then Dr. Bravo, I asked Dr. Bravo, because she was the chief of the American Psychological Association chapter. She was the child chapter. She was the president. And she said, that was very interested, because I'm talking about teaching the little kids to meditate in God, something like that. And then I asked her, because she's a specialist, Dr. Bravo, I say, do you think that I can find, if I study, I do research, I do a lot of things, I read the Bible very good, do you think that I can find that we could develop an attachment with a spiritual being? In other words, because she's not a believer, she's atheist, you know, then I was trying to ask, can we develop an spiritual attachment with God? It could be that God is with me all the time, that I'm conscious of the presence of God all the time. And the Dr. Bravo told me, if you discover that and you realize that it's possible, I will ask Stockholm. I will call Stockholm, is where the Nobel Prize is, you know, and I will ask them to give you a Nobel Prize. Then I started doing that 22 years ago. And for me, it was amazing. The reason that I wrote Q Meditation, that has to be with developing the consciousness of the presence of God. And that experience has been in my life, the best experience I have in my life, because now I'm conscious. I work for different mental health institutions, and I do a lot of work, like study the brain of criminals, studying the brains, and I do meta-analysis. That means that I have to read everything about what's happening in the institution and make a conclusion and give them what is the best way to follow. But the thing is this, you know, when I go to a psychiatry ward, when they assign me a psychiatry ward to study or something like that, I'm for sure that I'm not by myself. I'm so sure that God is with me. The designer of the brain, you know, the person who created the brain, designed the brain, they know the brain is with me. And when I enter to the psychiatric world, I will ask, oh Lord, I brought you here because you live in me. Now, what are you going to do? I will follow your steps. You won't believe what happened. When the first time that I entered in the ITP, International's ITP Ward. What does it mean? International ITP Wards. International means that they are from everywhere. Okay? ITP means incompetent to proceed. That means that they are not mental, and they don't have the mental capacity to understand what a jury is, what a judge is, what is a lawyer, what is a defendant, what is a prosecutor. They don't understand the system. And they sometimes grab a Coca-Cola. They grab one, and they got nervous. They run, and then the owner of the store, the shopping store, called the police. The police went after him for one call, and they've been inside the psychiatry ward for 7 years for one call. And the reason that they don't let them go is because they don't understand what a jury is, what a judge is, and something like that. Then they assign me this. What are you going to do with these people that they don't understand? And I pray. That's curious, because the reason that they hire me is because the way that I work is different than the way that they work. And they ask me to do something where they don't know what to do with this. That will happen when you develop the consciousness of the presence of God in your life. Then I pray. I say, Lord, what can I do? The first thing that they have is a lot of fights. They have a lot of fights inside. It's pretty tough. They are tough people, and they try to defend each other, and they have a lot of fights. And then I say, Lord, how can I end these fights? And you know what happened in me? What happened in my brain? I am from Miami. I live in Sunrise, Florida. I'm from Miami. And in Miami, it's full of Cubans. I don't know if you have a Cuban ascendant here or whatever, but full of Cubans, okay? And do you know what the Cuban does? The Cuban is always yelling. The Cuban is, what? They are fighting. But it's only one moment in their life the Cuban doesn't fight. Do you know when it is? When they're playing dominoes. When they're playing dominoes, they don't fight. And that came to my head. He said, if domino can come, a Cuban, dominoes can come as a country word. And then I asked to buy, domino for everybody. And you won't believe. That's a country word that every day was a fight. Interview, the police interview, fight, police interview, was the peaceful psychiatric ward, only for dominoes. Or how the dominoes came to my head, because I have experience, I am a smart people, I'm a smart guy that can correlate those, the peaceful of the peacefulness of the Cubans who are playing domino, something like that. No, I think that God put in you not only the desire, he put you how to do it. He will talk to you and give you ideas. But the problem is not only the fights. The problem is that there were people 7 years, 9 years inside without the option to go outside because they didn't understand what is the legal procedure or the system. They didn't understand. Then I asked the Lord, Lord, how can I do this? How can I teach them? Because they tried. They have books. They have everything, to teach these people, but nobody understand. And the Lord put it in my head again, because something that I love to do is draw. My first career was an architect. When I was young, I was an architect. Then I moved to the United States 34 years ago, and I switched my career because they didn't want me to give me the license to be an architect. And I went to university again, and I studied neuroscience. Then he put in my head, you like to do cartooning. They will understand in cartooning. And I draw a whole book about all the legal system in cartooning. Nobody is left in that psychiatric world. They could understand. And everything is because of the consciousness of God in me. I can talk to him. Wherever I go, if I go to Walmart, God is with me. And if God is with me, I can tell God, God, close your eyes because I'm going to be an adulterer. I'm going to be an unfaithful person. Close your eyes because I like the girl here and I want to cheat in my wife. I can say that because the presence of God is too strong. I won't say I'm going to steal this money or I'm going to grab this or I'm going to say words that they are not good, only because the presence of God is so strong in me. When married people, you know, they go to see me, they come to see me, it's amazing. They look so peaceful. They look like a beautiful marriage because I'm there. You know, and they don't want to fight. They want to look like the best person in front of me. Then the husband is, yes, yes. And the wife is, yes, yes. And then I have to ask them, why are you here? Because you look, well, until I start, you know, asking questions and they start yelling and they start, I'm leaving, I don't want to stay here, something, and they start like this. But I tell them, you know, what is the reason that you didn't fight and you turn your temper do not took control of you or your brain do not took control of you? You know what is the reason? Because you saw me. Because you were aware of my presence. You have a consciousness of my presence. If you can develop the consciousness of the presence of God, both, you will never fight again. Because you will do the same that you did in front of me. You don't fight because God is with us. And this is something that is amazing. Because we don't teach this at churches. It's something that I teach in universities. It's something that I teach in neuroscientists. But the church never called me to teach this. This belongs to the church. It's the consciousness of the presence of God in my life. Then I finish with this with examples. You know, I'm fanatic. My team, I know that you don't like this team. Okay, my team is the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's my team. Brady, you know, is my team. And then one day, a player of the Buccaneers was referred to me to see him as a doctor. That guy was like this. Look, what is the name? I don't have the words in English for that. The name of the people who protect the quarterback. Offensive lineman. Okay. This guy went, man, this guy is like this, more or less. No, it's amazing. But not only like this, it's like this. But you won't say that it's soft. No, it's super strong. Something like that. He went because he have a problem. He have problems. You know, all the concussions, all the stuff that he have. And then I treat him. I spent with him like 3 weeks or 4 weeks maybe. And then one day he left and he was so happy or something like that. A pastor referred him to me, a pastor, at the Mosaic Church or something like that. And then one day he knocked the door, he went to the office and asked my wife, to see me. And then he came to me, he went inside my office and told me this, Dr. Johnson, how much do you charge me to be like you? That for me was amazing. And then he said, well, I don't know, maybe one life? No. Then I told him, why are you asking me that? Because I want to develop the consciousness of the presence of God in my life. You told me, that helped me. When you start teaching me about the presence of God and what to do to be conscious of the presence of God in my life all the time, my life changed because I talk to him all the time. And I know that I'm not a schizophrenic because you're talking to God all the time, man. Freud will say that you are a schizophrenic, you know. Ellis will say that you are a schizophrenic. You know, but it's not curious. But all these people, they say that people that believe in God is schizophrenic, like a Freud, like Ellis. Okay, the last sin that they did was a spiritual thing. Look, Freud, the last book that he wrote was Moses. It's about Moses. It's amazing because he was confused. Ellis, the last sin that he did, you know, is convert to Buddhism and start meditating and looking for something else. It's like the brain is designed to understand something, another world. Another world that is spiritual. And we are not specialists in that world. And we need to be specialists because we are Christian. We are children of God. And we need to know that. That's a reason that today I would like to teach you 7 steps. It's so simple, 7 steps. You can stop me and ask me anytime. Please, I don't understand what you're saying. You can tell me that. I won't be offended, okay? Because I'm living 34 years in the United States, the word that I heard the most in my life is, I beg your pardon? Oh, can you repeat, please? I beg your pardon? They always ask me that because they don't understand me sometimes. See, so more with a mask. You know, when I went to Walmart, I start asking for a soap, you know, to take a shower for a soap. Nobody could understand me. I had to spell it. S-O-A-P. Ah, soap. That's okay. Okay. When I went to a meeting with neuroscientists in Duke University, they always are asking me, what is new? What is about? Yesterday I told them, I will do it with you too. One day I went to different neuroscientists, and they always, because they know that I am scientist, that belief in God is kind of weird. You know, it's kind of weird. But if you study science, if you study really deep science, if you study the brain, that is amazing. You will never think that this beauty came from explosion. It's impossible. It's impossible. This brain, that eyes, you know, the smile. No, it's impossible. You came from explosion. How? No, and everybody laugh when I say that. All my colleagues, they laugh, and they love my accent, by the way. And they ask me, Dr. Johnson, what is new? What is new? Then I told them, I discovered the reason, the three reasons why we have mental disorders. If we can stop these three reasons, you know, the three things, we will stop mental disorders. Man, everybody wants to listen. The three things, I want to learn. I went to learn. Then they brought me like this. Dr. Harold Kenny brought me a whiteboard. In this whiteboard, I wrote 3 things. Let me. Okay, imagine more or less an auditorium like this with 300 people, okay? Those 300 people are really good neuroscientists, really good, you know, researchers, something like that. I'm writing like this. Everybody's expecting because they know that I'm kind of crazy. Then they say that I wrote this. The first reason. Devil. Man, you won't believe how many people start laughing. Everybody was laughing. Dr. Hargani had said, please, silence. The first one is devil. Then when I wrote the second, they almost killed me. Satan. Then everybody started, please be quiet. And then the third one was, I'm talking about mental disorder, I'm talking about depression, I'm talking about anxiety, I'm talking about bipolar, I'm talking about schizophrenia. And I tell them, those are the reasons that we have schizophrenia, that we have bipolar, that we have depression, that we have anxiety disorder. And they are telling me like I am a pastor, where I don't know from where, you know, from a little town, that everything is like, I have cancer, it's demons, you know. My gallbladder is not working, demons, you know. They thought that I am like this, you know, that I'm trying to say that, to convince them that everything is demons, you know. And the other is demons. demons is like D or two M's? That's it? It's okay? You know better than me, demons. And then they start laughing, and then Dr. Harukeni say, be quiet, because Dr. Harukeni knows me very good. We talk about God, and we talk about the Q meditation that I wrote and everything. I say, devil. You see devil, I say in Spanish, the diablo. No, you see devil or something, it's terrible, you know. It's a character, Bible character or something like that. But no. Is how Jesus defined devil. And that's the principle. Jesus says the devil is the father of all lies. And the word is deceiver, is liar, is lie. This is lie. All people, have a mental disorder, believe a lie. The depressed people, he said that there is no hope. It's a lie. Because when you're alive, there is always hope. But he said there is no hope. Because there is no hope, we have studies now, the lack of hope will affect the mitochondria. And the mitochondria produce the ATP, is the energy. That's the reason that you don't want to take a shower. You don't want to leave. You don't want to wake up. You don't have to do. And it's terrible, but there is no hope. Something happened, and they think it won't change. There is no hope. Okay? That's a lie. The anxiety disorder, they think that everything is going to be wrong. There is not going to be gasoline. I won't be able to be back, to drive back to my sunrise home. No, there is no, tomorrow they want to steal my house. Tomorrow I won't be able to pay the mortgage. And they start developing anxiety. My son is going to get sick. I'm going to get a COVID-19. They start believing and it's lies because you don't know nothing about tomorrow. You don't know nothing that is going to happen tomorrow. Even you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. Oh, man, that's worse for an anxiety disorder. But that's a big reason, that the big lie that they believe that something is going to happen, and they are anxious all the time. They are producing norepinephrine and epinephrine, and that's the problem. They are shaking all the time. They're having a panic attacks. They're having, because they are believing a lie. You know, the bipolar thinks that he's going to solve the world. But he realized that he's not solving anything, and he got depressed. And when he is depressed, he killed himself. But he believed a lie. Everything starts with a lie. You know, it's not only that. It's schizophrenic. Everything in schizophrenic is a lie. It's something that's produced by the brain. It's chemical, but it's a lie. The people that he sees, it's a lie. The voice that he hears is a lie. Everything is a lie. You know, that's the reason. He's a devil. And the same Jesus say, if you know the truth, you will be free. That's amazing. It's like, well, all the neuroscientists were quiet at you. The second is Satan. Satan, the word Satan, or Satan is called the adversary. Adversary, this is adversity. Adversity. It's okay? You can correct my spelling. I won't be upset. Adversity. What does it mean, adversity? Everybody in the life has adversity. So one day, something happened, the doctor tells you any diagnosis or something like that. Something happened with you, something happened with the mortgage, something happened with the gas now, and everything. That's adversity. And adversity increases the lie. Suppose the anxiety disorder. The guy, he thinks that tomorrow they're going to lose the car and the mortgage and everything. And he woke up and somebody stole the car. He said, I told you, it's true. That he started believing the lie. Do you understand what I say? That's very important, because adversity, illness, adversity, a son left me, a son got sick, whatever, that's adversity, increase the lie. There is no hope. Oh, Lord, what is that? I knew it, I saw it before, I have a vision of that. You know, they start, you know, increasing the lie that they are receiving. That's adversity. But this adversity increase the lie, it becomes demons. Demons is intrusive thoughts. That means that the lie start being in your brain all the time, and you start thinking about that lie when you're sleeping, when you're wake up, when you're working, when you're doing everything. The lie is inside you and kills you. And this is the three reasons. If we can find what is the lie that he's believing and give them the tools for the adversity, then the ITs will stop and we heal every person. All the people send out a club. And this is the Bible. We know the Bible for a long time. We don't pay attention to the Bible. We believe the Bible only that I'm not going to hell, you know, because of the Bible, I raise my hand, I come here, I pray, and that's it. But we never study about the benefits of reading the Bible. And let me tell you this before, because in the second part, I'm going to give you the seven steps, okay? But this is only introduction, okay? Don't go, please. No, just kidding. Okay. And this is very important, because I know the pastor here is a master. There is another lady that is a master. And then I have a lot of smart people here. But I want to give you this, okay? I wrote something that is called Neuroscience in the Teaching of the Bible. Okay, Neuroscience in the Teaching of the Bible. It's a conference I give. It's a course that I give, Neuroscience. They accept me to teach this course in different institutions, because of the reasoning. It's true. It's something like that. Okay? For me, the Lord designed the brain to communicate with him. Okay? We'll be able to communicate with him through the brain. No, it's through the elbow, you know, through the knee, it's through the brain. Okay? And that's very important to understand. Can you put the first, you remember, the human part? Can you stop talking in the back? No, just kidding. Okay, you see, this is the... Oh, yes. This is the human part. This is orbitofrontal. It is a smart part of your brain. Okay, they used to do lobotomy. Do you know what is lobotomy? Lobotomy with scissors, surgical scissors. They enter here and they scratch this to heal schizophrenia. That was terrible. That was terrible. Do you know who is John Kennedy? Okay, he had a sister that is Rosemary, I don't remember the name very good. Okay, and she has this procedure. And and they scratch it. When you scratch this, you are only an animal. Because this is the small part. This is where you have, in this part, you have the reward, the thread, the astra, and you have the astra is thing that you don't touch. But the reason that you understand hope, that you understand love, that you understand God is here. It's here. It's only here. And here, you know what is it? Decisions. You know, decisions, very important. If you don't feed up this, if you don't nurture the orbital frontal, or your decision is going to be really bad. And that's very important. And the difference between the macaque is the monkey that have the brain closest to us. The difference between the macaque and us is decision and abstract. Decision and abstract. It's very important to understand that. But this is the human part. And this is the animal part. Okay, to Rosemary Kennedy, they scratched this and she became as like an animal. That was terrible. That's the reason that John Kennedy closed all the hospitals, mental health hospital. He destroyed the mental health system. The reason the United States have one of the worst mental systems in the world. The reason is because this president, John Kennedy, destroyed because he was so upset with what they did to his sister. And this is the animal part. That means that all animals have this and we have this. Okay, it's like I told you, in neuroscience is when these parts control this part. Or he said, when the brain controls the mind will be the part of the man, the human part, is a sick brain. In this, we have the amygdala. The amygdala is the defense. The amygdala is where all the drugs go. Can you put the other one, please? This one, you see? This is the amygdala. We have the amygdala. We have here the hippocampus. We have here the hypothalamus. The hippocampus is the center of your memory, okay? The amygdala is how you relate. You have interrelation with your dad, with your mom, and everything. And it's the same part of fighting. You know, that's amazing. It's your wife. It's amygdala. If you have good relation with your fathers, with your parents, you have relationship with your wife and everything, your amygdala starts developing, you know, resilience. That's amazing. And then you have here the hippocampus, is the memory, and it's close to the amygdala. Everything that your parents did to you, everything that your parents taught to you, you know, is in the hippocampus. Hippocampus is memory. And sometimes the panic attacks came from the hippocampus because seeing that reminds you, you know, that something happened, or the trauma. And this is the famous hypothalamus. Okay, when a threat starts here, that will send a signal to caudate nucleus. And the caudate nucleus has to make a decision to send a signal to the frontal lobe or to the anterior cingulate. That is the penguin, kind of penguin. You know, then the anterior cingulate doesn't sing, only react. Okay? I will send a signal to the amygdala to hypothalamus, hypothalamus to pituitary gland, and the pituitary gland to adrenal gland. I will produce norepinephrine, epinephrine, and you need to run. You need to do that, and that's panic attack. That's anxiety. It's, I'm dying. That's the panic attack, okay? Because you're producing norepinephrine, but norepinephrine, epinephrine is good because I'm crossing the road and a huge truck is coming. I need to produce norepinephrine, epinephrine to jump 10 feet and be free. Because if the caudate nucleus, instead of sending the signal to anterior cingulate, send the signal to the frontal lobe, I will start thinking, oh, a Perkins, beautiful truck, 18-wheelers, boom. I'm dead. Okay, that reason that sometimes I need norepinephrine, but now I'm producing norepinephrine, because the doctor told me that I have an illness. And I'm producing norepinephrine, because I don't have money to pay my iPhone. I'm producing norepinephrine because my mortgage, or because my son, or because anything. And then each time that I produce norepinephrine, we call it stress. Each time that I'm producing norepinephrine, my immune system is zero. Doesn't work. That's the reason the brain knows that we need to stop this. We need to stop this course. We need to stop because we're producing norepinephrine. That's incredible. I will have COVID-19. I will have the flu. I will have everything. Because my immune system is zero. And they need to stop. And then they have, you can see, he can stop here in the amygdala. He can stop here in the hippocampus. And he start, because one, they reach the pituitary glands, she will fire, and nobody can stop. Can you pass the other one, please? That's very important. I told you, he can stop only the amygdala. And the amygdala is the receptor for all drugs. That's not amazing? It's not only the part of the brain that interacts with my father. I understand the love of my father, my mother, but only is the part of the brain that receives all drugs. Okay? If I smoke marijuana, the marijuana imitates the adenosine that we have. Everybody have adenosine. That means that you have marijuana in your brain. You can do like this. Say, ooh. Okay. Then if I inhale cocaine, I will produce, imitate dopamine. Everybody have dopamine. Okay, let me tell you, what is dopamine? How many of you have Facebook? No? Only one have Facebook? No, everybody have Facebook? Instagram? No Instagram, Facebook? Okay. How many of you go and see and visit Google? No, you never visit Google? Do you never ask? Do you know why you can do that? Because you have dopamine. Dopamine is searching. Without dopamine, somebody is not putting you like you. But with dopamine, oh, she didn't put like. I hate her. That's dopamine. That's dopamine. Without dopamine, then benzodiazepine, that is Xanax, that is all the thing, clorazepam, all the thing the doctor give you because I feel nervous. That's GABA, produce GABA. The same, alcohol produce GABA. It's the same to take a benzodiazepine that drink a cup of whiskey or whatever. And can you believe that it's better whiskey than benzodiazepine? Because now we want to stop benzodiazepine because produce Alzheimer. The reason that we need to stop. Then opioids will imitate endorphins. Nicotine will imitate acetylcholine. The reason the nicotine, the people that smoke, can memorize because acetylcholine is the neurotransmitter for memory. The reason that when you are losing your memory, everybody is going to give you acetylcholinesterase. That means that will kill the reuptake of the acetylcholine, and you will receive more acetylcholine in your brain, and then you will memorize better. Okay? Then amphetamine will also imitate dopamine. Then the problem with Christians, the problem with pastors, you know, is that nobody use drugs. The pastors don't use drugs. I cannot preach, well, today, please and Lord. No, I cannot preach using drugs. The majority of pastors does not use drugs, okay? That's the reason that the majority of pastors cannot stop this in the amygdala because they don't use drugs. Sometimes they use benzodiazepine. Some pastors I know that they do, you know, but the majority, they don't use that. Then they have the other thing to stop is the hypothalamus. And then the majority of people stop the production of norepinephrine and epinephrine to recover the immune system. We stop in the hypothalamus, that is this big bean. You know? And this, the hypothalamus has four nucleus. It's flight, fight, food, and sex. You know? Then if somebody is having a panic attack or something like this, or develops agoraphobia, is afraid to go outside or something like this, he will develop the fly. What is the fly? I will stay in my house. I won't leave. I don't want to go anywhere because I'm going to have a panic attack outside. That's the fly. And everybody thinks that you are depressed or you are a shy guy and you don't want to leave. No, I don't want to leave because outside is terrible. Okay? Then suppose that you want to go outside. You are working with fly. Your brain is using the fly nucleus to obligate you to stay at home and do not leave. But you say it comes a cousin, somebody, your dad, and tell you, let's go outside. And you start walking outside. You know what happened? The brain starts producing pain in your neck, pain in your back, pain everywhere, and we call fibromyalgia. Because the brain is defending you because he discovered that when you are flying, when you are staying home, you don't have panic attacks. And he wants you home to not have panic attacks. The other one is fight. You know, the guys start fighting for everything. Honey, let's go to the park. Start fighting everything. And everybody thinks that is the character, the temper. He has that temper. He's a good, something like that. Then the other is food. I start eating like crazy. I start eating because I feel, because the food is the only thing that calms me. You know, have you seen those movies that the girlfriend fights with the boyfriend, you know? Yeah, and then what the girlfriend does, you know, he goes all the way to the kitchen, grab a bucket of ice, or, you know, ice cream, and she starts eating, you know? That's the third nucleus. Everybody starts eating. And let me tell you, a lot of people is solving the problem with this. A lot of people. Okay? And the other one is sex. Sex and ludopathy, that is playing games. That's the other nucleus. Then the people that is playing like this, something like that, or people that get a slave of pornography. The problem. And look, what is the problem with religious people, okay? The problem. The reason that I see a lot of religious people, they cannot stop here in the amygdala because, generally speaking, people that go to the church, we, the Baptists, you know, we don't use drugs. We don't use marijuana, cocaine, alcohol, benzodiazepine, PCP, amphetamine, nicotine, opioid. We don't use that. Then we cannot defend ourselves using a drug. Then the only thing that we have is the hypothalamus. But what happened with the pastor? He can fly. He needs to preach. He cannot stay home. He needs to be busy. He needs to go and preach. Then he cannot use the nucleus of fly, the fly. He cannot use the, well, and there are pastors that they like to fight. But they cannot use the five nucleus. Why they cannot use? Because nobody will come to the church. I don't know how many fights had the pastor that I saw only few people here. You know, but they don't fight. The other is food. There is other food. Some pastors, they understood bad that they are the temple and they are building a cathedral. But it's true. But the majority of pastors, they are not. The majority of pastors, they are not. I need to eat, something like that. Okay? The only nucleus that they have left, what is it? Sex. That's the reason that I have read tens of pastors added with addiction to sex. Because nobody knows. Today, brothers, we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. But later, I will open my iPod because I want to be by myself. And that's the reason. But you have to remember this. Everybody is going to use one of this. You are going to use one of this. But when you have here understand that you can understand God, you understand God through the orbital frontal. How can I develop the orbital frontal? And that's the reason the Bible is amazing. It's the best tool that God created, that God invented. Listen, that's for me, that's very important. I don't know if you remember Psalm number 1. Have you read Psalm number 1? Nobody remembers Psalm? Yes? Nobody remembers? Somebody can tell me? Okay. I will read it. If you don't understand my reading, please, it's your fault because nobody wants to read it. Okay? How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the weak, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's word, and he meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree plant beside flowing stream that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prosper. Listen, whatever he does, prosper. When I study the brain and this psalm, for me it was amazing. Because I interview always people that they are believers, and I ask them, what do you think about this? What do you think about this verse? You know, I always ask. And they think if they read one verse a day, like a paying the penitence or something like that, I have to read, oh man, I read one verse today or something like that. And they have different tools to read one verse a day, like a cookie, Chinese cookie, you know, okay, a fortune cookie, that you can read and they feel better. And some people read. Even they don't understand the Bible, but they read it from beginning to end. They want to read it because they believe if they read it, they will prosper. You know, it's something like a superstitious behavior that they have. But it's true this first has to be your delight. It's not your obligation. It's not your obligation to read the Bible. No, it's my delight to read the Bible. Second, you meditate in the Bible. It means that you think and rethink and rethink and rethink. You're meditating, repeating, thinking in the Bible all the time. Then what happened? What we discovered in neuroscience is because the Bible is astral, totally astral. And that part of the orbital frontal only take the astral part. Then we develop more neurons. And this is the smart part. And this is this part. Is a smart part of us. Control, they call the executive love because control my appetite, control my discipline, controls everything, you know. But I develop more neurons because I'm reading the Bible. I'm being smarter when I read the Bible, when I meditate the Bible. And then what is this? Decision. Not only astral, but decision. And what give you good business. What gives you things that prosper? Good decisions. And how I get good decisions? Because I'm reading the Bible. I'm meditating the Bible. No, I'm not using this because superstitious behavior, you know, is going to give me more money because God will open the gates of money and will send me a lot of money. No, it's because I start making good decisions because I have a lot of neurons. Okay. When I talked this to different neuroscientists, they told me, Dr. Johnson, what is your demonstration? What is your point? Give us an example that reading the Bible. Okay. There is a nation, okay, that from 12, when you're 12 years old, okay, you start reading the Tanakh. The Tanakh is the Old Testament, the prophets, and the Psalms. Okay? Then you start reading the Tanakh, and you memorize the Tanakh, and you repeat the Tanakh. And the rabbi starts talking to you about sex, about everything, until you become 13 years old, and we have a day that we celebrate Bar Mitzvah, and we dance, and everybody put money in your pocket for your college. Okay? They have to memorize, and they do it from 12 to 13 years old. This nation has the major number, he has the most Nobel Prize in the world. And it's like this. And the name is Israel. Then why the Christians? They don't do that. Why the Christians, they don't start a program when they're 12 and read the whole Bible until 13 and visit the pastor, and the pastor tells them about sex, about everything, because at 13 years old, you are declared mature. You are declared mature in Jewish culture. 13 years old, you are mature. Why? Because you have an instrument that you can produce kids and start working at 13 years old. No 18, no at 15, no at 20 when you are 13. And even the ladies also go through this period. And you have to know what to do with your body. And you have to declare mature. And they know the best way is to add neurons to your brain. Then I create. Because the reason I study neuroscience. You know, I create a program. I create a program that for kids to read, for Christian kids to read. Then I didn't call Bar Mitzvah. I didn't want to call. But I called Bar Messiah. Something like that, then I opened, I asked my church, man, look, I discovered this. It's amazing. Your kid is going to be really smart. I tried to convince everybody. That was like 25 years ago that I discovered and I wrote the program. Since 25 years ago, how many kids do you think I had in my program? Zero. Why you don't bring your kid? He doesn't want. Bring your kid, please. No, he likes to do the iPad. He doesn't want to know nothing with God. And the father, he doesn't want. He doesn't want to bring. I mean, zero kids. It means that my church, they won't have any Nobel Prize. They say, I can do it. They're humans. No, no, just kidding. But it's amazing. It's amazing why, if we had the tool, why we don't have the kids reading the Bible every day from 12 years to 13. That reason that Proverbs 22, verse 6, is a reality. Do you know what it is? Do you remember Proverbs 22, verse 6? Man, you don't know anything. Sorry. Do you remember? Somebody can read it for me? That's it? That's the trick? Teaching. Okay, then we're going to have a break. Is that okay?